Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Smell Podcast. I'm your host, Katie Boateng. This week, join me in listening to an interview with Jackie Johnston, a long-term acquired anosmic from Melbourne, Australia. Jackie and I talk about how she deals with anosmia, the very unique fact that her father was also an acquired anosmic and what that was like for her growing up, how COVID-19 has increased awareness of smell and taste disorders, and much more. Our interview was recorded in September 2021. Let's listen to the interview. Hi, Jackie. Welcome to the Smell Podcast. How are you doing?
Hi, Katie. I'm well, thank you. I'm very well. Yeah, and thanks for inviting me on.
Thank you so much for joining today. So the way I like to start these interviews is just to learn a little bit more about you. So where are you from and what do you do?
I live in Melbourne, Victoria, in Australia. I was a teacher and I'm back helping in the classroom currently. I'm a mum with three children, 21, 18 and 14. And my husband, who was my childhood sweetheart, we met when we were 16 and we've been married 26 years. And as I said, I'm 51.
Oh, that's lovely. That's amazing that you guys have been together for so long. Congratulations.
Thanks.
So what is your anosmia story?
Well, as a few of your past guests have said, it's quite confusing to sort of lock down exact, but about 13 years ago, I started smelling phantom smells. I just was convinced the house was on fire more times than I can tell you. And I'd run around in the middle of the night looking for things and there was nothing. And, you know, that lovely smell of fresh washing, I'd bring my washing in and it would smell damp and dirty, and I'd ask everyone and they'd say no, it smells fine, but I'd put it back in the wash again and dry it again and the same thing, and just kept going like that. And then gradually I just ended up losing my smell, and I was thinking it's 7 years since it's been 100% gone, like there's nothing, and I don't taste anything. I have got, of course, those things people talk about, like salty, sweet, sour, spicy. I don't know what that UNAMI everyone is, what is that everyone talks about, but I don't think I have that. And interestingly, my dad also had no sense of smell, which was something when I was young, I didn't give it a thought. I didn't give any sympathy. I didn't consider it. It was something I just couldn't understand. And now he's no longer with us, but I think how amazing that I've lost mine and he also had lost his. So I query whether there's some kind of genetic aspect to it.
Oh, that's fascinating. So do you know, you mentioned he lost his sense of smell, or was he congenital?
No, he lost it. So he lost it, as I'm told, when he was 24. Now, everyone thought he was a chemical engineer, and everyone thought it was from chemicals, and he lost it when he was about 24, as I said. But now that I've lost mine, I'm not convinced it was the chemicals. I think it might have been something else. But because he is quite literally the only other person in the world, apart from you and your guests, that I know who had no sense of smell.
Right. Wow, that's interesting. Now I want to study you guys. I wish that there was, I know you said he's no longer with us, but that would be a fascinating study to see if it was somehow genetic.
Wouldn't it? Absolutely.
So you just mentioned something that's really interesting to me, and it's pretty common for a lot of people who come on the Smell Podcast. It sounds like you haven't met anyone else besides your dad in person who has anosmia. Is that accurate?
That is accurate. And my father died, so I haven't even been able to talk to him about it. There's not a soul. And I, you know, occasionally I'll be out and someone will say, oh yeah, my wife has no sense of smell. And I'll say, really? And I'll get very excited. Then I'll talk to the wife and it's like, yeah, no, you have a sense of smell. You just can't smell a few things. And I feel so disappointed.
Right.
So there's been no one I have ever met. You sound like you are. And one of your other guests, Patricia Bow or Spoo, I remember thinking, oh no, she's in my situation as well. I smell nothing. And no, I have never met a soul in person. In fact, last year in the middle of one of our yet another hard lockdown, we're in one now and we were in one back in July last year, and I went on the Fifth Sense, I know you're familiar with. I went on a sort of a meet and greet via Zoom. It was the first Zoom I'd ever done, and that was just remarkable to me, to speak to people who said what I think and are living the life I'm living. And likewise, your podcast, it's just, it's enlightening and comforting to hear there are other people out there, even though I know no one. And the statistics say I should know someone, but I don't.
Yeah, I think that a lot of people don't talk about it. So you may know people, but they just haven't said it out loud. So I think one thing that has been positive from COVID, if it's been a horrible situation, but at least one positive thing about it is that it's raising awareness about the prevalence of smell and taste disorders. And people Yes. are starting to know what the word anosmia means, realize that you can lose your sense of smell and how impactful that can be. So hopefully Yeah. that means that more people will start to talk about it, and hopefully you'll meet someone in person who can kind of just share and empathize with you.
Hopefully.
Yeah. So question for you, when smell does come up in your day-to-day life with people, whether you know them or you don't know them, I'm interested in hearing about both. Do you typically take the time to explain to them that you don't have a sense of smell?
So in the past, I haven't, because it was, and it still is, almost embarrassing. I don't know. It's like I don't want to annoy people. I don't want to bother people. I don't want to be a Debbie Downer and take away everyone's joy of food and drink and smells and life. But then likewise, if I don't say anything, I feel like I'm being a bit of a fraud. And you know, so you join in and say, oh, yeah, that was nice. Or, oh, look, you know, and then I feel like a fraud. So I have started to say it now, but mm-hmm. it's exhausting. It's exhausting. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, well, within almost 10 seconds of starting to tell someone, I can tell whether they're interested and thoughtful and understanding, or whether it's just, ugh, you know, get over, stop. I don't want to hear this.
Yeah, the typical reactions are either disbelief.
Oh, yeah.
Or, and then they move on because they can't comprehend it, or they get maybe too interested and want to have like a very in-depth conversation.
Correct. Yes.
Which is not always.
In fact, last week.
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
Last week in a prep class, I was teaching little preppies. So that's, I don't know what you call it in America, but the first year you go to school, we call it prep or foundation.
Oh, like kindergarten.
Yeah, okay. Well, our kinder is when you're 3 and 4. So we have it before that. So we go kindergarten, then prep. And something came up, and then one of the children was talking about something that smelt in the classroom. I said, well, I can't smell. And these little eyes of disbelief, all just staring at me and all thinking, what? And then one of them just said, no way. And just, that was it. They laughed it off and went, it was preposterous to them. No way. Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. Yeah, it's definitely, I pick and choose who I tell nowadays.
Yeah. And I've had people in my life who really should know better. And I remember vividly once being out to dinner, and it was Asian food, which is my food of choice overall because of the sweet, salty, sour, crunchy mm-hmm. aspect. I can get something from it, especially salty. And I said, oh, that was nice. And she said, I thought you said you couldn't taste. And there was a bit of a tone. And I just felt humiliated and isolated. I almost felt taunted. And I remember crying in the car on the way home. It just like knocked me off at the knees. I was so shocked. And so you do become a little bit guarded. You want to share, but you also are quite self-protective.
Right.
Yeah.
That's unfortunate that happened. So speaking of Asian food, though, that you like, so you were talking about earlier umami. So that's like the savory type of taste. It's like MSG flavor. So that's quite prevalent in Chinese food. So it's kind of like a meaty taste.
Right.
So I don't know.
I love Chinese food. I love Vietnamese food. I love Thai food. So I guess I do have umami then.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
So kind of to go into that a little bit more, how do you think having anosmia impacts your relationship with food and with eating?
Well, I do love food still, which is lucky. I cook by memory, and I use my beautiful husband and my children to taste it for me. Mm-hmm. I do not like cooking for other people anymore. Apart from cakes and slices, I can still share those, but anything that requires balance or I just can't do it. I feel very nervous. I stick to barbecues and salads. Mind you, We're in our 224th day of hard lockdown today. So we don't have people over anymore anyway. We haven't all last year and haven't this year. So it hasn't been an issue for a while. My kids say I'm a fantastic cook, which is lovely. They're very, and my husband, very sensitive to my feelings, and they know how vulnerable I feel about cooking and how it tastes and if it's right. And I know I ask way too many times every time I serve a meal, how is it? Is it nice? Please give me some feedback. Does it need anything else? And again, I don't want to take the joy of eating away from others by bombarding them with questions, but I find it hard not to.
Yeah, I definitely know for myself that my relationship with food has changed a lot. So now that you do have anosmia, and thinking back to beforehand, do you feel like your diet changed? Like, do you focus on certain foods now that you didn't typically eat as much before, or has it stayed pretty much the same?
Well, I'm absolutely, definitely, I'm obsessed with colour in my food, and I'm often taking photos of my food for myself because I love the colours I use. I always seem to have chili and lemon on hand, and I always have salad for crunch and cold, or you know, vegetables for sweet and warm. I sort of cook quite a lot of different things for dinner, so there's a variety. I do love junk food though. I know you do.
And I love absolutely junk food. Do. Yeah.
Yeah. Salt. Well, I mean, why wouldn't we? Salty, crisp, sweet, you know, there's just so many different things, and I love it. Unashamedly love it. But I do try and cook good food, but I keep some of it simple just because I'm nervous.
Yeah. It's just, you mentioned salad. So for me, in order to enjoy a salad now, I have to have crunchy things in it. Versus if it's all just kind of like lettuce itself, I'm not interested.
Yeah.
But I've started adding things like croutons, carrots, pumpkin seeds, those types of things make it much more enjoyable.
Yeah, that's interesting. I don't add the croutons and the seeds, but I add, you know, celery, cucumber, carrot, snow peas. I always cut up and pop in a salad. And I tend not to add avocado and things. I like avocado, but the texture can be a bit off.
Yeah. Yeah, avocado can be tricky for sure.
Yeah.
So kind of transitioning to a new topic here, I like to ask this question of all my guests, and there's no right or wrong answer. I'm just curious in your thought process, but do you self-identify as having a disability with having anosmia?
1,000%. I absolutely do, and I feel like that's what people need to know. We are a very vulnerable group. We rely on other people. We've lost two senses, which makes it dangerous. It's depressing and isolating. It can cause me to avoid social situations and things. It's not like I want a parking pass or financial support, but I need help, and I need compassion, and I need understanding, because It absolutely is a disability. And what's more, I live in fear of losing my other senses, which I know they diminish as you age. And I'm 51. I'm young and fit now. But, hey, what about when my hearing goes or my sight goes? Like, that's just a terrifying thought for me. Terrifying.
That is scary. I hadn't thought about that before.
Yeah. So, yes, I do. I do. Do you?
I do. Yeah, I definitely do think of it as a disability. The definition of disability is just when you are unable to perform a certain life function. And like you mentioned, we can't perform pretty much two. So I just think the conversation surrounding whether or not anosmia qualifies is fascinating, because some people are very adamant that it is, and some people are very adamant that it's not.
No, I mean, I can't ever see it being in the Olympics, you know, the Paralympics or anything. But it needs recognition, 100%. And, you know, a couple of months ago, I read about a new product. Do you have Aldi over in America? Aldi? A-L-D-I, it's a supermarket. Yeah. And they had a new bleach product to get rid of like black in your grout. And I thought, oh, I'll give that a go. Well, it worked. And so I joyfully ran around to every shower in our house, and I sprayed with gay abandon. I just went to town and I left it there. I did turn the fans on, but and then gradually everyone came home and the sense of panic on their face. I had apparently filled the house with toxic, I guess, chlorine fumes, and they were uncomfortable and didn't want to be in the house and didn't want me in the house, yet I'd been in there happily breathing and thinking I was doing something wonderful. So that kind of thing is a disability.
I have a similar story, actually. That's interesting. Did you get a headache from that at all?
No, I got nothing. I think I was having a cup of tea when it was announced to me that get out.
So I lost my sense of smell back in 2009. So probably sometime in like 2010, I did something similar. I was moving out from an apartment in my college town, and I cleaned out the bathroom with cleaning spray. In a very similar situation, a friend came in and was like, "You need to get out of here now. This is really bad, like very strong." And I had no idea. And I actually, like, we opened the windows and turned on the fan and everything. But I had a horrible headache within like the hour. And it just kind of highlights, even though we can't smell it, it can still impact us in a really negative way. And even though you didn't get a headache, obviously it would still impact you negatively if you were hanging out in those fumes for a long time.
Yeah, not good for you. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's interesting. So another question that I have for you is kind of, you mentioned you went and you were with friends and then someone made a comment about the anosmia and that was quite upsetting to you. So what do you want people who don't have anosmia to know about what it's like for you living with the condition?
Well, that it's very real and very raw and very frightening. And please don't ever say you're so lucky you can't smell that, because I always say straight back, I would like to smell dog poo and dirty nappies and anything. I would give anything to smell anything, assuming then I could smell the nice things as well. So there's no luck about it, not at all. And I always think, as if you'd say to a blind person, oh, you're so lucky you can't see this, or a deaf person, you are so lucky you can't hear this music. You know, it's just, it's not something that would be done. So that shows how misunderstood it is. So, and please don't buy me smelly gifts, like candles.
I've heard that one before too.
Yeah. But then again, I do also feel sorry for people, because on that same hand, I would really like some chocolates. And so really that's, I'm contradicting myself, because I'm saying, please understand my disability, but then, oh yes, no, I will take some chocolate though. So I do feel some sympathy for everyone, that it is very confusing. And I the way I know that is because I didn't show my dad any understanding or sympathy, because I couldn't. Unless you can sort of empathize, it's very hard to sympathize. It's a tricky one.
Definitely. So kind of, I'm just curious again about your dad. Did he talk about it frequently?
Well, he was a father with four girls who dominated the house and a wife. And I do remember him looking quite miserable at the dinner table a lot, which is a strange memory to have. We had a lovely childhood, but he was frustrated. And I remember he used to say, oh, tastes like nothing. And would you believe we also were quite strict with him? My mum died when I was very young, 16. And we were very strict with him about his diet, because we wanted him to live. So do you know, we wouldn't allow him to add salt.
Oh, my food. Goodness.
And now, I mean, salt is my best friend. And I just think, oh, my goodness, how could I have prevented him adding salt to try and get something from his food? And that was simply because I didn't understand. And I guess that's how everyone around us is. They just don't understand.
Do you think that in light of COVID, people will start to understand more?
I'm assuming they must. But, you know, I hold my breath when people say they've lost, when I read about people losing their sense of taste and smell from COVID, because I do feel like it's going to come back for them. I don't know what the statistics are, but I feel like it's just going to be a fleeting experience. Have you heard any facts or?
Well, I don't have like any hard statistics, but definitely people who have COVID-related smell loss, it seems like just anecdotally that they first become anosmic for a while. And then typically they'll either get their sense of smell back or it seems like they develop parosmia within a few months. And the parosmia can be long-lasting, which is very unfortunate.
Oh, yeah, that's no good. I remember hearing one of your guests speaking about, is that phantosmia where they smell a horrible smell?
So parosmia is the one where they smell, everything just smells wrong, and it typically smells horrible. And then phantosmia is where you just have phantom smells. So you smell things that aren't actually there. But yeah, so parosmia sounds awful.
Yeah, so one of your guests, a male, and I feel like maybe he was from Australia. He was saying his children smell bad to him and everything. And I just thought, oh, and I just think that would be worse than not smelling anything, to have everything smell awful, I think. I'm grateful.
Yeah, definitely. I think that might have been Joel Robinson, maybe, from quite a while ago. But he's from Australia too.
That's
maybe
right.
Adelaide?
Yeah. Possibly, yes. And his story was interesting. I also find the compassion your guests who have congenital anosmia show to us people who are acquired anosmics. I find their compassion so kind. They say that they think it must be harder for us because we are going through a grieving process, which is true. But I think it's really generous and kind of them to say that. And I'm always grateful to hear it, because it is a grief and it goes and comes in waves and phases. And sometimes you think, yeah, I can do this. And other times it just feels impossible. And their sense of kindness about our grief is appreciated.
Yeah, I agree. If you could have a sense of smell again, would you want that back?
Now, what do you think?
I think yes, but I'm curious if you want to elaborate.
I hear some of your guests saying no, and usually it is the congenital anosmics. I would instantly, it would be just so wonderful. I would feel like I wasn't living behind glass anymore, and I could look forward to things again. And I just think it would be amazing. If I could, I was thinking, you know, if you asked the question, what's one thing you'd like to smell again, Jackie? I'd say if I could just smell within the four walls of my property, so I could smell my family, smell my husband, smell my food, smell my flowers, smell my house. I'm always freaked out. You know, when I'm overseas, sometimes I do a thing, I close my eyes. And if I can't hear and can't see, I don't know where I am. I don't know if I'm at home. I don't know if I'm in an airport. I don't know if I'm, I know nothing. And I just think it would be wonderful to be able to smell my home and my little world again. I don't mind about going out further, but just here. So yes, please, I would love my sense of smell back. And my sister died 4 years ago tomorrow. And she, when she was in the hospice, do you have hospices where people go to die?
Yes.
You know, end of life, yeah. And I remember she had an incredible sense of smell, and ironically it got more and more acute the sicker she got. And I'd been reading about stem cell research, and she was donating her body to research HER2 positive breast cancer. And I said to the doctor, who I knew was going to be taking the samples, is there any way you could take some of her stem cells and put them in me? And they just looked at me like I was crazy, you know. And that's the level of desperation I feel. Yeah, I would do anything to get my sense of smell back, even be a guinea pig.
No, I am very interested in it. I'm hesitant a little bit just because I feel like it would be so very overwhelming. But I'm also, because I know what it's like, I would absolutely welcome that.
And don't you think you'd understand the world more again?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
There's a natural order that we're just not able to feel anymore or understand. It's, anything.
Well, you mentioned feeling like you're behind glass. And there's actually, I believe it's the Dutch Anosmia Patient Association called Rooksmakstoornis. And they have a newsletter, and I have no idea how to say it in their language, but the name of the newsletter means behind glass.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Last night I listened to, it's going to escape me. So your guest Patricia recommended, it was a Dutch lady who spoke about the orchestra. She's a singer and a songwriter, and she wrote a short extract about what it feels like. That was amazing last night. That was just beautifully done, and she explains all that so well for people.
Yeah, so it's curious that people from all over the world, all over the US, all over the world, just have similar feelings. like being behind glass, being inside a bubble, and they've never spoken to each other. And they tend to say the same things over and over again, which is just fascinating.
Yeah, I think I told you, I walk around the house saying, yes, yes, to your podcast as I'm listening to them, because I can't, it's so wonderful to hear people who understand. It's just, and I wanted to thank you for your podcast, because I don't say it lightly, it was life-changing. When I found it, I could barely believe it, and I actually save them up like a little nugget of gold that I give myself when I'm on my own and I need a little bit of lifting or a bit of comfort, or I just, they have been wonderful. So I appreciate everything you and your guests have offered and shared, and thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much for saying that. That's amazing. I always feel so happy when I hear that, because that's the whole goal of the podcast, is to make sure that people know that they are not alone. And I really started it because I would have loved something like this when I first became an osmic, just to even connect with listening to other people's stories about the same scenario. It would have been so comforting to me.
Yeah, even the word, I don't believe I knew the word until maybe five, six years ago, which seems crazy to me. And I was under the care of a father, son, ear, nose and throat specialist team for years. So I know I had their family friends and I know I had the best care, but I don't think I knew the name of it.
Yeah, I agree. Like, it took a while before I learned the actual term itself.
Yes, yeah. And I was going to tell everyone, do you have Maltesers in America?
Is that a type of... Oh, I thought you were thinking about a dog.
Oh, no.
I don't know.
Maltesers, they're round, sort of got a crunchy center and chocolate on the outside. You roll them along. Maltesers. Oh, that's interesting. I thought, anyway, they've got now some with extra chocolate on the outside and they're a little ball of paradise. That beautiful.
Well, we might have it.
Maltesers. They've got, I can't even think what's inside them. It's crunchy. It's not honeycomb. It's sort of biscuity, or anyway, they're a malt ball in covered by chocolate. And now with the extra chocolate, I recommend them to everyone.
That sounds amazing, and I'll definitely look it up. Another previous podcast guest, I can't even remember who at this point, but from the beginning of the podcast, recommended that I try Cadbury fruit and nut chocolate bar. And it was, I ordered some from Amazon, and it was so good. So that was a good recommendation.
Well, the other one is also Cadbury almond, with the one that has the whole, Cadbury hazelnut has whole hazelnuts in it. That's magnificent.
Okay, good recommendation. I'll have to look that one up too. Maltesers and then Cadbury hazelnut. I'll always take a good chocolate recommendation.
Yeah, me too.
So Jackie, do you have anything else that you'd like to share with listeners?
Oh, not really. Just thanks to everyone for sharing their stories, and thanks to you for the podcast. And hopefully we can get the word out there and a little bit of understanding and kindness and thank you. I feel like I definitely appreciate natural beauty, you know, the beauty of, you know, birds and plants, and I hear birds singing that no one else even knows are singing. I think it does hone in on other aspects of life that are beautiful and enjoyable when you can't taste and smell, so that's an interesting, just a thought I often have. I think I see things and hear things others don't.
For sure. Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast and speaking with me for an episode. It was lovely to hear your story. And I'm so happy that you're from Australia, because I love to represent guests from all over the world.
Thanks, Katie, for inviting me. It was a pleasure.
Thank you so much to Jackie for coming on the podcast and sharing her story with all of us. If you're listening in Australia, make sure to check out the Anosmia Australia page on Instagram to get connected with your fellow Australians. I'll link to it in the episode notes. The Smell and Taste Association of North America, or STANA, is the first patient organization focused on smell and taste disorders in the USA. To find out more, you can visit STANA's website online at www.thestana.org. STANA is an official 501c3 nonprofit, so any donations that you feel like giving are tax deductible. We are still fundraising, so if you're interested, you will find the fundraising website online via GoFundMe, and the link to donate will be in the episode notes. Stana has also started hosting an Instagram live series called Stana Live Sensory Insights with prominent figures in the scientific community. If you're interested, please go check out our Instagram. For any questions or if you'd like to get involved, please visit the website or email Stana at info@thestana.org. Please rate, review, and subscribe to the Smell Podcast if you listen using iTunes. As you guys know or may not know, reviews are super helpful because they allow others to find the show. If you're interested in financially supporting the podcast, you can do so by clicking on the link in the episode notes. I appreciate your support. And as always, a big thank you to everyone who currently contributes to the show because your generosity is what makes this podcast possible. Until next time, have a great day.